Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
We've been talking about how God is a God of restoration, renewal, and regeneration. And of course, with renewal and regeneration working in our body, that's healing. That's divine health. And that's what God has for you and I. We see here in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." So he has saved us, and God wants you whole. Spirit, soul, and body. And he tells us that over in Thessalonians. God cares about every part of you, spirit, soul, and body. And it makes sense that he would, because he made every part of you, didn't he? He made every part of you, and he wants every part working right. And when it's working right, it glorifies him, because he's the one that made it. So he gets the glory for it. Over here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 23, it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice, this is talking about before Jesus actually gets here. God wants your spirit, soul, and body. He wants it preserved. He wants it blameless. He doesn't want it broken down. He doesn't want it afflicted, so that when Jesus comes back, either he comes back to you or we go to him, whichever happens first, you are found blameless. We're not going to die of sickness and disease. We're not going to die because our bodies just deteriorated and just rotted out on us while we're here on the earth. That's not God's will. God wants us, even when in death, he wants us to leave here strong. He wants us to leave here strong. Going back to a scripture from last week, Job chapter 5, verse 26. He says, "You shall come to the grave at a full age, as a sheaf of grain ripens in its season." Let me read it from the Amplified Classic again. "You shall come to your grave in ripe old age, and as a shock of grain goes up to the threshing floor in its season." When we go up to heaven, we're going out of here strong. We're going out of here ripe and full, not rotting and deteriorating. Is this God's word? Did he promise this to us? He wants us to get a hold of his promise of long life. He wants us to live long and strong. That's his will for us. How many people want to see his will be done in your life? All right, well, we're talking it right here. He wants you to leave this place at a ripe old age. He wants you ripe. Ripe, not rotten. Nothing worse than a rotten banana. Oh, man, I like ripe bananas, don't you? You know, I put a little ripe banana in my smoothie every day. I get my little smoothie out, and take out a banana, and sometimes, you know, there's parts of the banana, it's been sitting there too long. It's aged. It's deteriorated. It's rotten. I don't like eating that. I said, I don't like eating that. God doesn't want you half rotten. Yeah, but I'm so-and-so age, whatever age that is. I'm whatever, you know, when you get to be my age, you know, things begin to turn rotten. No, that's not God's mentality. That is a world that's been disconnected from God. That's their mentality, but that's not our mentality. We're going out of here ripe. We're going out of here ripe. The CSB translation: "You will approach the grave in full vigor as a stack of sheaves is gathered in its season." CEV, you will live a long life and your body will be strong until the day you die. Why don't you just say, I'm going to live a long life and my body will remain strong until the day I die. So you're only saying what God said about you. And that's what faith does. Faith believes God and says what he says. So we got to stop saying things that are contrary to what he's saying if we're going to have what he says come to pass in our life. It's not automatic. Most people are not experiencing this. Most people are dying young and rotten. Most people are not experiencing this because most people do not even know about it. And the ones that do know about it, how well are they believing it? How much are they embracing it? Yet it is God's will. His will be done on earth in your life as it is in heaven. He wants you leaving here strong, having had a long life, full of days, and full of health. Full of health. He doesn't want you limping through this life. Now, just by hearing this, God's wanting to work things in us. He's wanting to change our thinking and, in effect, your immune system. He wants to start getting down to the cellular structure of your body and get in it. His word is life. Remember, when he spoke, all of creation came into being. So his word is going into your cells right now. His truth is going into you right now, and it's making things free. Bones are getting stronger, and things are getting loosed, and things that were being oppressed and bound are getting free. Can you believe that? Because it's God's word. We can go out of here healthy. Remember, the Bible says in Psalm 107, it says, he sent his word and healed them. His word carries healing, especially when we're talking about it. Talking about healing. That is the actual subject. I believe any of God's words produce health, brings healing. But how much more when we actually talk on the subject of healing and long life? How much more? Oh, man, because we're getting our minds renewed to the will of God, the word of God, and that word is going into effect in us, the Holy Spirit. Remember, in the beginning, the Bible says in Genesis, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and then God said, let there be light, and what happened? Spirit of God brought to pass the word of God. So the Spirit of God, he's in you, he's hovering, he's over you, and as God's word of healing goes forth, believe it, receive it, and let him do it. Let him bring it to pass. Let him make it happen. It's not about us learning how we can make ourselves live longer. Now, this isn't a work of your righteousness. This isn't some kind of thing you got to make happen. You have to believe it. You have to embrace it. You have to just let God's word become reality in your life. And it becomes a reality in your life. Let it become a reality, in other words, in your believing. Let it be real to you on the inside. And it'll be real to you on the outside. You'll see the reality of it. Isaiah. These are just reviewing some scriptures as we set things up to talk more about enjoying long life. Last week we talked about the fountain of youth. Remember that? We got this fountain of living water. It's the fountain of youth, friend. It's on the inside of you, and it'll renew your strength, renew your youth. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew. Everybody say renew. Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Even as they're getting older, they're waiting on him. He says, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God's got me so stirred up about these things. And the more you get stirred up about it and talk about it, the more real it becomes to you, the more you start seeing its effects in your life, in your physical body. And I just thank God I'm getting stronger. It was so sad. You know, several years back, I went to a birthday party of somebody who was 40 years old. They turned 40 years old. Whoopee-doo. And they got all these cards from all their so-called Christian friends. And all these cards, you got one card after the other saying, you know, now that your bones are getting old, and they're supposed to be funny. They're supposed to be funny cards, you know. Funny cards, one after the other, talking about your bones getting brittle and you're getting older now, and now this is happening to you, and ha, 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 and everybody's ha, 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 ha. I was appalled. It's like, are you kidding me? Is this what you really believe? 40 years old? Are you kidding me? People already are making nursing home plans at 40 years old. I mean, it's bad. It's bad thinking. It's bad thinking. And the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I'm going to think in line with the Bible. I'm going to think in line with the Word of God. I'm just getting started. Praise God forever. I'm excited about the next 50 years. I was actually pondering, I was thinking about that. So, you know, here I am, 50 years old. This is where I'm at in life. And I thought, well, you know what? A lot of that was wasted. A lot of those years were wasted as a child. You were an infant, a child. You couldn't do anything. You know, you're just trying to figure out how to put one foot in front of the other. You know, and then you grow, you become a youth. You're pretty, you know, you're a youth. And then finally I get saved, you know. Finally I get saved. I finally see some light. And then we start laying a hold of the Word of God. Now here we are, 52, whatever, 52, something like that. And it's like, now, okay, praise God. That was just the foundation. Now I got 50, you know, another 50 full years in front of me that we can really get some things done. We can really get, I can really learn some things now. I could take the little education I've gotten and I can really become an intelligent human being now. I can really get smart now. I can really start to accomplish some stuff now. See, I'm just getting started. I got another 50 at least in front of me. You know, when we get there, I'll let you know if I want to stick around any longer. You know, the only reason why it would be shorter is if the Lord asked me to lay my life down as a martyr on the battlefield of winning souls. And then, okay, fine. If I have to go to the front lines and lay my life down, we'll do that. Otherwise, I'm just going to go ahead and stick around. I'm going to go ahead and stick around because really it's not even just for me. It's not even just about you living long on the earth. It's about how many lives you can affect. God's looking for us to be, he's looking for people that will be a beacon of faith in the earth. I want to be a beacon of faith in the earth for future generations. I want to be here just releasing faith, because if you're releasing faith, you're releasing the will of God into the earth. You're giving God something to work with in the earth in people's lives. But we're just getting started. I said we're just getting started. Our strength is to be being renewed day by day as we wait upon the Lord. Another scripture, Isaiah 58. Bears repeating, verse 11, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail until you get to be about age. I got news for you. There's no expiration on these scriptures. No expiration date. There's no, you know, when you get to this point that, you know, you can't claim that anymore. You know that, right? I mean, you can't claim that at that age. Where is that in the Bible? We're going out of here strong. I said we're going out of here strong. Woo, hallelujah. Our bodies are getting turned around right now as we're talking. Verse 12. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. Many generations, because you're going to be around for many generations. You shall affect many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. We are to be restorers, bring restoration to the world. Job chapter 33, verse 24. Then he is gracious to him and says, deliver him from going down to the pit. Have you been delivered from going down to the pit?
Yes.
All right, that's just a part of it. I have found a ransom. Verse 25. His flesh shall be young like a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray to God and he will delight in him. He shall see his face with joy. He restores to man his righteousness. So the Lord has given us his righteousness. And what goes right along with that? Our flesh will be young like a child's. CSB translation, then his flesh will be healthier than in his youth. He will return to the days of his youthful vigor. How many people say, I'm going back? We're going back in time. Going back to our youthful vigor. The ISV translation, let his flesh be rejuvenated as he was in his youth. Let him recover the strength of his youth. The LEB translation, his flesh is renewed with his youth. He returns to the days of his youthful strength. We're talking about turning back the clock on time. And we can. Why is that? Because we're moving at the speed of light. How many people know God is light? That's what the Bible says over in 1 John chapter 1. In verse 5, it says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So notice that God is light. And when we are practicing the truth, we are walking with that light. We're walking in it, and we're walking with it. And God is light. And when we're fellowshipping with him, practicing the truth, we're in that light. We're in that light with him. Now, Einstein came up with the theory of relativity, or time dilation. Whereas the more you travel at the speed of light, the more time slows down. Time slows down. We're talking about turning back the clock of time. Can it be done? Yeah, fellowship with light. Travel at the speed of light. Live and walk in the light. Because according to time dilation, compared to someone standing still on Earth, if you go somewhere with more gravity, or you move around really fast, more velocity, then you'll return relatively younger than that person standing still on Earth. Did you get that? You'll return relatively younger than that person standing still on Earth. I'm going to say it one more time. If you move at the speed of light, somebody else is standing still on the Earth, living in the flesh realm, living in the natural realm, but you're moving at the speed of light, when you come back, you're going to find that they have aged a whole lot more than you. That's according to this theory of relativity. I believe it's accurate. So as we're spending time with God, we're in the light, even as he is in the light, and he is light. And so what's happening to us? Time is slowing down. You know, I think of Enoch. You know, he goes back all the way back in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 5. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Notice he walked with God, or we can say he walked with light. He walked with light. He traveled at the speed of light, another. He got so over. See, when you're over in the spirit, you're over in the light. And when you're over in the spirit and over in the light, then you're moving much quicker than everyone else around. You get things quicker. You know things faster. You understand things more. So everything's moving quicker, and yet time is slowing down for you. The carnal, fleshy things are slowing down. So that when you come back, man, maybe whole entire generations have come and gone. People got old and died, and generations have come and gone. But then you come back, and you're still pretty much the same age when you left. Maybe that's what happened to Enoch. Just maybe Enoch walking with God, doesn't say he died, didn't say he went to heaven. He was just walking with God. He got so over in the spirit, so over into light that he wasn't anymore. He stepped over into that realm, and generations, time has flown by. To him, he's just sitting having a conversation with God right now. He's just having a conversation with God right now. And all of a sudden, somewhere, you know, here in the future, he steps back and goes, what in the world has happened to the world? He sees planes flying over and vehicles cruising by him. Is that possible? It's possible, you know. The book of Revelation, the Bible talks about these two witnesses that are going to show up in the last days. One of them definitely looks like Elijah. And the other one looks like Moses, but it could be Enoch. Just saying. It's possible. Maybe Enoch just went for a walk with God. He's still just having his little walk. And yet, thousands of years have gone by. Pretty cool thought. But the bottom line is, the more you fellowship with God, you can redeem time. And doesn't the Bible tell us to redeem the time for the days? Or what does that mean, buy back time? Buy back time. How can you redeem time? How can you buy back? How can you get back time? By hanging out in the presence of God, spending time with him. It affects everything about us when we spend time with him. It's affecting everything about our life, even the aging process. It is slowing things down. You can slow down the aging process by practicing the truth, by fellowshipping with God. Praise God. Hallelujah. How's that for a night cream? You'd like to put that in a little bottle, right? A little fellowship with God. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs chapter 3. Let's look at a few scriptures here about how we can affect the number of days we live on the earth. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. It says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. In other words, practice the truth. Practice my word. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. They will add to you. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. This is a guarantee from God. He's guaranteeing us, hey, practice the truth, be a doer of my word, keep my commandments. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to live long regardless of what the devil tells you. You're going to live long regardless of what the doctor tells you. You're going to live long because I tell you. You're going to live long. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me, by wisdom, your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. I love how God talks in such absolutes, right? There's no maybes or anything with God. It's just, this is how it's going to be. So there's no reason why we can't just believe it without doubting. There's no reason to doubt. God doesn't speak in any way that leaves any kind of doubt about this, does he? Makes you want to know his commandments. Makes you want to know his word, right? Makes you want to make sure, man, I'm lining up to the word of God. I'm a doer of the word of God. I love God's word. I'm going to be a doer of God's word. Guarantees you a long life. Guaranteed. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. How many want their lives to be cut short? Well, he said, if you're wicked, that's what's going to happen. That's what happens to the wicked. Their lives are cut short. You know, they want to go out and have all the fun they can get now. And so they get all they can get while they're getting's good, and then they don't stick around too long. But we live according to the word of God, and our days are prolonged. I'm going to fear the Lord. I'm going to fear the Lord. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother. That's a commandment. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Somebody say, I'm going to live long, because I'm going to honor my father and mother. Amen. Praise God. We're going to honor our father and mother. Psalm 55, 23. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in you. So there's a reason why these people's lives are cut short. You see, we have to understand that we determine the quality and the length of our days. We determine that. Because God's already spoken. He's already told us his will and what he wants. And yet we know most people are not experiencing what he wants, which is a long, healthy life. A lot of folks are having their days cut right in half. Their days are cut short. Well, but why? Because they're wicked. They're wicked. Well, we have to take heed to that. When I think of wicked, a lot of people think about, you know, maybe stabbing somebody or something, something wicked. But the Bible says over in Hebrews chapter 3, it says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart or a wicked heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. See, not believing God, not taking him at his word is a wicked thing. I said, that's a wicked thing. So we want to make sure we take him at his word. So we always check up on ourselves and say, now, Lord, you know, help him and make sure I'm believing you. Now, what do you say about this? I'm going to take you at your word. I'm not going to repeat what I'm hearing everybody else say. I'm going to repeat your word. See? And he says, if you'll do that, you'll live a long, healthy, and strong life. Thank God we know the truth. I said we know the truth. And the truth is freeing us from premature death. It's freeing us from an aged, broken down, rotten life. We don't have to become rotten through time. We can come better and better. We can get better and better. We can get renewed over time. Renewed, revived, strengthened, refreshed. And it's not just about your diet and exercise. I said, it's not just about your diet. It has more to do many times with how you think, how you talk, how you believe. What are you believing? A lot of folks are believing wrong. They're talking wrong. Their thinking is all wrong. It's affecting the quality of their life and the quantity of life, the length of days that they're experiencing in this world. How you think, how you talk, how you believe. These are very, very important things. We got a couple illustrations of this over here. First, we'll go to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua, the 14th chapter. There was a man by the name of Caleb. And God had promised the children of Israel, he told them that he had a promised land waiting for them and to go in and possess it. But that whole generation that Caleb was around, they murmured and they complained and they did not believe the word of God. They didn't trust God. As a result, they all died in the wilderness. And we'll talk about them perhaps here in a little bit. But notice Caleb, he was about 40 years old when they came into the wilderness, when God told them about this great promised land. And now another whole 40 years has gone by. An entire generation of Israelites have passed away in the wilderness. And in Joshua chapter 14, now this next generation has risen up and they're going in and they're possessing the land. And it says in verse 6, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. And then he begins to share some things. And in verse 10, "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive." And he said, he has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am, this day, 85 years old. 85 years old, as yet I am as strong this day as I was on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there," that's these giants, "and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord has said." Look at this man, 85 years old, and he has maintained the proper thinking, the proper talking, the proper believing. He has believed the promise of God. He believed, he had continued to believe all these 40 years. He's been talking it. And now here he is, 85 years old, as strong as he was when he was 40. How many people think this man is delusional? How many people think he's delusional? He's just a delusional man. You're 85, buddy. I think you need to chill out. Right? 85 years old. I mean, you're going to take the mountain? Well, we know he wasn't delusional because he actually went and took the mountain. He took it from the Anakim. He went out to battle. He fought and he won. So he wasn't delusional. And yet, I've actually heard this preached from a real carnal perspective. Not from a faith perspective, from a carnal perspective. I actually heard somebody actually treating Caleb like he was delusional. And they were like, you know, here comes Caleb, he comes in there, "I'm just as strong as I was when I was 85 years old. I can take this mountain." Actually preached it that way. Because they had absolutely zero faith. Zero faith concerning longevity. Zero faith concerning these promises of strength and God preserving us and causing us to not lose our natural vigor. So when they read it, they read that as like, yeah, right. I've already got my nursing home set up. And yeah, 85 years old, I know where I'll be when I'm 85 years old. Well, I know exactly where you'll be too. You'll be exactly where your mouth has put you. You'll be exactly where your thinking has put you. You'll be exactly where your believing has put you. And it isn't the will of God. It's contrary to the will of God. And we actually see this played out here in another man's life by the name of Barzillai over in 1 Samuel chapter 19. Now remember, Caleb was how old? 85, man, ready for war, ready to fight, lead the next generation into taking territory for the kingdom of God. I mean, you know, you get to be 85 years old, now you can finally really begin to do something. You know what I'm saying? You should have some experience behind you concerning the faithfulness of God. Your faith's been able to grow all these years. I mean, you're finally in a position to really train some people, to really do some significant things. And yet the devil's got folks convinced that, no, 85, we're done. I mean, I'm washed up by then. And you're finally in a position to really be able to affect generations of people with the truth of God, with the faith of God. But again, it's about your mind. How are you thinking? How are you talking? Well, we saw how Caleb was thinking and talking, and we saw what he had. I said, we saw what he had. But here's this other gentleman. His name's Barzillai, a great man, a friend of King David. And In chapter 19, 2 Samuel, verse 31, and Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Rogalim and went across the Jordan with the king to escort him across the Jordan. Now, Barzillai was a very aged man. Everybody say aged. See, it doesn't say old. It says aged. He was an aged man. 80 years old. And he had provided the king with supplies while he stayed at Mahanaim, for he was a very rich man. And the king said to Barzillai, come across with me, and I will provide for you while you are with me in Jerusalem. But Barzillai said to the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am today 80 years old. Can I discern between the good and bad? Can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear? Huh? Can I hear any longer the voice of singing men and singing women? Why then should your servant be a further burden to my lord the king? Your servant will go a little way across the Jordan with the king, and why should the king repay me with such a reward? Please let your servant turn back again that I may die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and mother. But here is your servant Shimham. Let him cross over with my lord the king and do for him what seems good to you. Why was Barzillai such an aged man? Because he was impressed with his age. He was impressed with the number, 80. Now, when you get to be 80, I'm just telling you, kids, when you get to be 80, you just can't taste things like you used to taste it. You just can't see things like you used to see it. You just can't hear things the same anymore. It's time to start figuring out where you're going to get buried. Because it won't be many days from now, we'll all be gone. He was an aged man because of the way he thought, the way he talked, the way he believed. He was an aged man. Caleb was 85 years old. He would have smacked Barzillai all around. But he talked totally different, didn't he? He thought completely different. He believed completely. He believed the promises of God. God said, I can have that mountain. God said, I can live long. God said, he's going to preserve me through this wilderness. And he told me I'm going to go in and I'm going to depossess those wicked people. And I'm going to take possession of that land. That's what God told me that. And I believe that. And that's what he believed. And that's what he taught. And that's what he thought about. He was sharpening his tools, man. While Barzillai was walking around trying to figure out what cane to get. How you think is going to affect how you age or mature. Are you going to just age or are you going to ripen? We should be ripening, not aging. That's God's will for you and I. How are you going to talk about your life? Someone says, well, I haven't really thought about it much. Well, it's time to think about it. It doesn't matter how old you are. Start thinking about it now. Start talking about it now. It's never too late, and it's never too early to start embracing the truth of God's word. Man, my youth is being renewed like the eagles. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm getting, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that everything's working good. Everything's working right. Thank sickness and disease. It cannot survive in me. The promise of God is living in me. And it destroys deception. It destroys disease. It destroys that which would try to destroy my life. The Lord contends with that or with those who contend with me. The Lord fights my battles, and he's fighting it from the inside. He's fighting it from the inside out. He's fighting in me right now. So we're getting stronger, better looking, happier, holier, all the time. Glory to God. Life's going to get fun and more fun. It's going to get more fun because we're going from faith to faith, glory to glory, better to, and you know, there's another scripture that says, from strength to strength. I mean, if you're going from faith to faith, then you should be going from strength to strength, because as your faith grows, that means your spirit is getting stronger. If your spirit's getting stronger, then it's affecting your bones. It's affecting your body. We got a series in our bookstore there. Living Long and Strong, I did. Is that the title of it? How to Live Long and Strong? A long and healthy life? Man, if you don't have that, you should just get that. Because it goes through the book of Proverbs, promise after promise of long life. And you just feed on these truths. You feed on them and you talk about it. Praise God forever. And when something in your body tries to rise up, and tries to tell you, no, this is going bad on you. This is starting to deteriorate. Then you need to talk back to it. You say, no, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for fixing that. Thank you that you're correcting that right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for health and strength, complete wholeness, soundness in every part of my body, every part of my mind. Stop talking the problem. Talk the word. Don't be a Brazilian. Be a Caleb. What are you going to be, a Brazilian? How many people know some Brazilians? Honestly, how many people you've met some Brazilians in your lifetime? How many people have met some Calebs? Yes? Praise God. There aren't as many Calebs as there are Brazilians. I'm telling you that right now. But man, Brazilians are all over the place. They're all over the place. When you get to be this age, when you get to be that age, the Lord has actually dealt with me about getting some things together concerning my departure from this world. You know, actually take those things into consideration. You know, get your will taken care of, and you know, get the land where they're going to bury you. You know, you can think about that, you know, things like that, and start laying those things out. Not because I'm planning to leave, but just to get that behind me. I'm expecting long life. But there isn't I'm not afraid of leaving. So I'm not afraid to prepare those things. I'm not afraid to put together a will. It isn't a statement of unbelief. Because how many people know we're all going to die? I mean, if you went to the doctor this week, and the doctor looked at you and said, I don't know how to tell you this to you, but you're going to die. What would be your reaction? What would you say back? You should look at him and say, well, of course. We're all going to die. Aren't we? I mean, we're all not going to be here forever. We're all going to die. That's just a fact of this life. But how we die is another thing. We're going to die in good shape. We're going to die sharp. We're going to die having our act together. We're going to die with our ducks in a row. Come on, somebody. Amen. We're going to die in full control of our life, of our destiny. That's how we're going to die. So we're not afraid to die. We know we're going to die. So if you want to go ahead and get some planning done, take that out, fine, that's fine. It doesn't mean you're planning on dying tomorrow. You can plan those things today, but you don't have to expect to leave today. Now, if you want to go, you can go. But don't want to go because you feel sick. Don't want to go because life is miserable. That's not the reason to want to go. You want to go because you're satisfied. You've completed what God's called you to do. You're finished. I've done my job. Make sure you've done your job too before you sign up for leaving. Because we need all hands on deck. I said we need all hands on deck. Amen? And the older you get in God, in the truth, the wiser you are. The better you are, the more of a help you could be to the body of Christ and to others. So we need all hands on deck. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Somebody say, I'm not afraid to die. It'll happen one day. when I'm ready. And I'll leave here on my terms, according to the word of God, at a ripe old age, full of strength and vigor. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord for the promises. Praise God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.